Today, we want to talk about, want to try to do something that's kind of like the Bible this morning, in a sense of first part, we like to talk about something very spiritual, very abstract, very wow, kind of like, how does this whole thing work? Eternal. And then the second part, like to get right down to where the rubber hits the road. Monday morning, on the job. I like to do it all in half an hour. Well, before we talk about Christ on your job, I'd like to talk a little bit about the Spirit and the Word. The Spirit and the Word. And as a believer in Christ, you can never get away from the Spirit and the Word. Spirit and the Word. And I would say, even God Himself does not deviate from these two things, His Spirit and His Word. His Spirit and His Word. In the opening verses of the Bible, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty, darkness was over the surface of the deep. Listen to this. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And look at this next phrase. And there was light. Look at the sequence here. You got the Spirit of God hovering over the surface of the waters. It's dark. It's void, it's empty. The Spirit is there, hovering. And that word is used also like a hen hovering over her eggs, letting them, you know, waiting for them to hatch. The Spirit is there hovering. And then God just says this, let there be light, and bang, there's light. Why the Spirit? There can be a lot of words said. You know, we can read a lot of words in the Bible. And here, just read the words in the Bible. Just read the words in the Bible. Just read the words. No effect, no effect, no effect, no effect, no effect. And then the Spirit begins to work. And then you just read a little word in the Bible and there's light. It's like that. I was with somebody the other day reading in the book of Romans. And I saw that man right before my eyes change. Change. He just changed. His thoughts changed. His outlook changed. And he said, Rex, I kind of thought this was right before, but I wasn't quite sure. But now I agree. Why does that happen? Spirit has to be brooding, and then word comes. It's Spirit and Word. That's what makes the difference. That's how God started. When we look at this, it's not a rule book. When we look at the Bible, it's not just a book on how to live your life. But it's a book that responds to the work of the Spirit inside you. And that's the difference. That's what a Christian is. A Christian is a summary, a summation, an addition of thousands of little miracles with the Word. The Spirit is brooding. The Word comes. God says, let there be light. And there's light. It's very interesting. If you look at Jesus, you see this picture of the Spirit and Word working together. Let me just give you a little illustration. He was born of the Holy Spirit. You know, conceived of the Holy Spirit. Mary, his mother, knew no man. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And as he lived his life, he did things by the Spirit. And if you look at his life, there are hundreds, possibly thousands, of prophecies in the Bible, in the Old Testament, that he fulfilled. In fact, when Jesus was on the cross, There's a little phrase in John. He's on the cross dying. He's got a lot on his shoulders, you could say. Sin of the world on his shoulders, all this. And John says this, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. Jesus says, I thirst. I thirst. And John says, the Gospel of John says, so that the scripture could be fulfilled. And you look at Jesus' life, and he fulfilled the word of God. And the way he did it was very interesting. It wasn't like, you never see Jesus do this. He's on the cross. He takes out his Torah scroll. And then says, like, okay, I got almost everything, and let me just get this last little thing. And he looks at something and says, I got it. I thirst! He didn't fulfill the word like that. It wasn't something like that. You don't see him with a database of scripture. Accessing this one, then accessing this one, then accessing this one. Figuring out which way he should go. You know how he did it instead? By the Spirit. So you see this man, he was born of the Holy Spirit. He cast out demons by the Spirit. In Acts 1, he says, in my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. And it's interesting, you just see a man, what happened? He was living by the Spirit. But what did he express? What was his life like? Well, let me read 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, to tell you what his life was like. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This is talking about the person of Jesus. This we proclaim concerning the word of life. The word of life. It's kind of like this. Jesus, just full of the Spirit. And what came out of him? The word of life. When you look at him, the word. How did he follow the word? It was by living according to the Spirit, being according to the Spirit, speaking according to the Spirit, casting out demons according to the Spirit, being born of the Spirit. And you look at his life, that's the Bible. That's the word. The word of life. This is our example in Jesus. And so when we hear instructions from the Bible, just realize, those instructions, are they instructions? Yes. How do we follow them? We follow them by the Spirit. How are they made real in our lives? They're made real in our lives by the Spirit. Look at this, John 6, 63. The Spirit gives life, gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of the Spirit and life. Some versions say, the words I have spoken to you, they are Spirit. They are life. So you look at a word from the Bible. And as a believer, we have to have this sense, like, there's this word from the Bible, but I'm not just looking for this word. I'm looking for something beyond. I'm looking for the Spirit. Why? Why? Because the word in itself is kind of like, then it would be, I would take this word and try to fulfill the word in my own strength. But the word with the Spirit is really different. It's more like, I would take this word and the word itself is Spirit and life to me. And what happens? Then my life becomes shaped by that word. How do you take the Bible? It's my life is shaped by that word. This is what Paul preached. It's the way he preached. Look at this in 1 Thessalonians 1:5. Because our gospel came to you not simply with words, Our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sakes. It's like this. The gospel comes. The word comes. And if it's just words, then you hear it. There's no effect. There's no effect. Why is there no effect? It's like, because there's no, it didn't come in the Spirit. But in the other, another way, it's like the word comes. And it doesn't just come as the word. It's not only words, but it's power. It's with the Holy Spirit. It's with effect, with conviction. And you realize, wow, I'm different. I'm different. I'm different. Why? Because of the word. That's why many people can hear this. If you do not have Jesus, you're going to hell. The way to escape this fate is by believing, by faith in Jesus Christ. And if you believe in Jesus Christ, you will be saved. If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. A lot of people can hear that. And just the word just goes right over them. What? But then you have one person or two people or a group of people. And then all of a sudden they say, oh my goodness, I'm going to hell. I really am. I need to believe in Jesus. And you know what happens? That word became more than word. More than word. It became to them something in power, in the Holy Spirit, in much conviction. And all of a sudden, they jump. Ah, that's the word. That's the word. I start to live that. It's what it is. This is just like Ephesians 1:13. And you also were included in Christ. When you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You see it again? You're hearing the word, but you're marked. You're sealed. You're sealed. There's a difference. Talking to a young man, he saw another young man who had recently believed. And he told me, you know, I saw that man who recently believed. I saw him forgive. I saw him forgive. And I don't know if he was just like, I don't know if that guy was, the new Christian was just, you know, walking through the Bible and saw something about forgiveness. But this other person just said, I saw him. I saw him forgive. And, you know, this person is not a Christian, but he saw him forgive. You know what that is? It's a mark. It's a seal. It's some kind of effect. And is it out of our own strength? Is it out of our own willingness? Well, our willingness is involved. Our cooperation is involved. But it's like the Word and the Spirit, and it happens. It happens. You're cut by the Word. You're cut. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. One time, I went to a Christian gathering. And I just went, just like an average Christian gathering goer. And there was a word spoken there. And after I heard that word, I had a conscious realization. I can never be the same. I can never be the same. I can never be the same. And, you know, I want to go into all the verses, but the thing I got from it is I have to live my life for the church. And it has to be really practical. I have to live my life for the church. I was cut. There was something in me that changed. And you would say, Rex, did you get that? Because you can understand things so well. No. Rex, did you get that? Because you were an especially disciplined person and very, a good listener, asked the right question. No. You know what it was? It was something from the Word that was, open to me. And there was something of the Spirit working in me. And you know what? It was cut. It's like a cut. The sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And all of a sudden, I started living out that Word. Why? Because it cut me. And so I tried it. I tried it. This is what I tried. I was like, that was awesome. So I just memorized what the guy said. And then there's a group of people in the Bible study. And I'm like, here it is. I memorized what that guy said when my life was changed. So I stood up and I said exactly what that guy said. And you know what the people in the room did? Hey, when's dessert? No moving, no whatever. So I asked him a couple years later. It's like, why? When you said that, I was totally changed. And why? When I said that, they wanted dessert and there was no change. And he told me, perhaps, possibly, at that time, by the mercy of God, that speaker was one with the Holy Spirit at that moment. You know, this is the Word. This is how the Word works. The Spirit has to brood. The Spirit is brooding over the surface of the earth, over the surface of the waters. And then God says, let there be light. Bang! It's there. It's there. And if you don't have that Spirit's brooding, hollow. That's the Word. That's the Word. Christians, we have to have this be our life. It's the Spirit and the Word. If you take only Spirit, then you know what you're like? You're like a jet engine that is not attached to a plane. Could you imagine that? You got a lot of power, but you'd just be flying everywhere, and you could hurt somebody or yourself. If you've got only Word, you're kind of like a plane without any engines. You may have the right way to fly. You may be able to explain the right things about flying, the right structure of the wing, the right shape of the nose cone, the right electronics, but you just try, let's go, and you're like, I'm tired. Word only. But when you put them together, you can get to Los Angeles in 4 hours. Spirit and Word. Let's apply this. I like these verses. They're about slaves. I like to insert... instead of slaves, this is not a discourse on slavery. Just put employee in, just for me. Just employee. Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah. Well, Paul talked about slaves. Let me read this. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with respect and fear, and with the sincerity of heart. Just as you would obey Christ. Obey them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from your heart. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people, because you know that the Lord will reward each one for whatever good they do, whether they are slave or free. And masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Do not threaten them, since you know that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. I'd like to just apply this to our relations. You know, Paul just saw that there were slaves that were believers and saw that some of them had unbelieving masters, and he kind of gave this way for them to work in that way, and a command for them to work as a believer, working as a slave. And then he saw masters who, some of them were believers. And he gave commands for his these masters. How do you handle a slave? And, you know, with this very practical example, I'd like to, hopefully we can kind of get how the word will influence our lives, how that will happen. Number one, with this kind of thought, what he says about slaves: obey your masters with respect and fear, and with sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. It's very interesting. Just as you would obey Christ. So you can imagine there's a slave there, or say an employee of IBM. And that employee is not a Christian. And then he becomes a Christian. And he picks up this kind of word. How should I be towards my master? Well, this word is very interesting. Obey your master with fear, sincerity of heart, just as you would obey Christ. Really interesting. It's like, in the job, what does the Bible say? What does the word say? I should look at my boss, my master, and obey that person. Just like I was serving the Lord. I was obeying Christ. And for a moment, I know where your thoughts are. What if my master is unrighteous? What if my boss tells me to do some sinful thing? Well, let's not go there yet. Don't not follow the Bible. I'll just tell you that. Don't not follow the Bible. But the point is this. It's like, this is the Bible's take on how are you an employee. You should obey them. Just like they're Christ. Just like they're Christ. Let me just walk on a little bit. Obeying them not only to win their favor when their eye is on you, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. You know, his command was, be a slave. Don't only do good things when their eyes are looking at you. Don't just, you know, take care of your master's business, whatever that may be. When your master's looking at you, and then when your boss is out of town, everyone in the office just goofs off. No, it's like all of a sudden you're serving the Lord and you're not trying to please them. You're not trying just to, okay, when my boss is there, I'm working hard. When he's not there, I'm relaxing. You know, there's a different standard for a believer, a different standard. I would like to do the best kind of job. I like to work this job as if I'm serving the Lord, not just when my boss sees. You know, there's always, human beings are really interesting. They do all these kinds of experiments, you know, experiments to test how interesting human beings are. You know, they gave these blind people taxi rides and, you know, put them in the taxi and, you know, measured what their fares were. And then these seeing people, taxi rides, you know, and then measured what their fares were. And they found out that the taxi drivers were more inclined to cheat the seeing people by taking a longer route to get a larger fare than they were the blind people. It's very interesting. You know why? Because everyone wants to appear to be good. And ripping off a blind person, that's terrible. I couldn't do that. But hey, if you can see and I can get away with it, no problem. Another experiment they did was they put some Coke in a room, you know, Coke cans of Coke, and then they put dollar bills in a room, a plate of dollar bills and a plate of Cokes. And then the Cokes, the dollar bills, nobody stole the dollar bills. But the Cokes were gone. You get it? You get the psychology? It's like, you know, I just want to be good. I don't want to appear. It's terrible to take a dollar. But hey, I could take a Coke, no problem. I don't want to appear to be bad. But I just want to push that line as hard as I, you know, as subtly as I can to just you know, that's who I am. It's kind of like this. You know, Paul says this, no, you're different. Even when your master's not looking, you're working. Even when your master is not paying attention, you're still working. Why? Because it's for the Lord. Your work is for the Lord. He says this, serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not people. It's like, serve from your whole heart. When I'm at my job, you know what? I'm serving with my whole heart. And some people, like, they become Christians, and they're like, oh, great. I can go to my job, and I'm just going to call people to fellowship and to, you know, spiritually shepherd them on my job, and, you know, I'm going to read the Bible on my job. Wait, no. No, I mean, that's for another time. What does the Bible say? You're wholeheartedly, right there, in your job, wholeheartedly, with your whole soul working, as if you were serving the Lord and not people. What a great testimony. Wouldn't this be a great testimony? A person becomes a Christian, and they become an even better worker than before. And some people say, well, how can I have my job? What, should I think about God all the time on my job? You know, how can I reconcile these two things? Well, the Bible is very simple. When you're on your job, it's with your whole soul. It's with your whole soul. And you're thinking about, how can I take this whole job from the Lord? How can I take the whole job from the Lord? I remember my advisor brought me in to the office one time, and he said, you know, I was taking some classes, and I had lined up three classes. And then he gave me this little speech, and he said, well, I am paying your salary. You should take two classes, not three. And I was like, how dare you infringe upon my rights? This is what I was thinking. You're infringing upon my rights. If I want to take three classes, I can take three classes. And I can still get enough done for you. Then I had this distinct feeling, it's the Lord. It was my advisor's words. And he is not a believer. But I just had a distinct feeling. You know, Rex, this is the Lord. And I felt like one of those, you know, the six-year-old boys when somebody's like, oh, so cute. And then they just go and mess up their hair a little bit. I felt exactly like that. It's like, you think I'm cute. Now I got messy hair because of that. But wow, do you know what that did? That made my whole work feel like, you know, this is not a separation from God. God is involved in the whole thing. He's involved in my boss. He's involved in my job. You know, he's involved in everything. And when I work for the Lord. Whether or not my advisor is there or not, wouldn't that be such a terrible life? I'm a Christian, and then I do this. I just go to the job, get it done, and just please whoever I need to please, do whatever I need to do, get out of there so I can go home and be a Christian. No. How about this? Your whole life is for the Lord. This doesn't mean you can't change jobs. You know, you, if you have an abusive boss or whatever, and then you're like, okay, I'm taking it all from the Lord, you know. No, you could just say, well, yeah, I want to move in the direction of getting out from under you and getting under someone else. That's no problem. Lord may let you, Lord may not, I don't know. But wow, how many lessons can be learned? How many such valuable rustling of the hair lessons can be learned if bosses are taken in this way? It's like, Lord, you did it. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I can take this from you. And I see your hand in everything. This may be actually the best way to spread the gospel at work. It's great. One brother, he's just enjoying the Lord, walked into a bank, and then the teller told him, you're really kind. You're really kind. You're really polite. That's a great testimony. That's a great testimony. Wow, what an opportunity for him to say, you know why I'm polite? Because Jesus smacked me so many times when I was not polite. I'm just working on this. He's working it out through me. And it's like, oh, you know Jesus, he smacks you? It's like, yeah. Wow, what a great kind of testimony if a worker can be like this, if a student can be like this. When a professor gives you, oh, such an unreasonable assignment, people could pray, Lord, why did you give me such an unreasonable assignment? What? Then their whole life is like, it's from the Lord. Well, why did I give such a long spiritual introduction? Because you should try this. Just try that. Like when you see your boss say, I'm going to serve you just like I serve Christ. And that might last for maybe 5 minutes. And then just remember this, Spirit and Word. Spirit and Word. You can't get away from it. You need the Word and you need the Spirit. And together, you know what? You could fulfill this kind of picture of an employee, this kind of a picture of a person who is working for a master. Finally, don't threaten. I was wondering. Masters, don't threaten. I was wondering, why do slaves get so much? And masters get only one line, don't threaten. Then I thought about it. Wow. Try to be a master and not threaten. You know what you have to do? You have to find out what will motivate that person. Maybe you need to apply a little love. You need to think about, how do I lead this human being? I'm not threatening you. Don't threaten. That's the simplest command. But if I don't threaten you, Delvon, if you don't stand up, I'm going to throw you out right now. Isn't that a great way to motivate you? This is a much better way. Delvon, love you. I love you. See? I didn't even say stand up. Isn't that much better? Don't threaten. So, if you're managing people, I'm going to threaten you with this. You realize, oh, yeah, no, Spirit and Word. How can I work with this person? How can I inspire them? How can I really in the best way live before God while I manage this person? Anyway, may the Spirit work in us and just cause us to be more and more according to the Word. So I'll stop there. Let's just have some prayer from anyone's free to pray.